Thank you, Brother John. That helped tremendously, though. That helped a lot. It's always a chore for me to lead music and speak. The funeral service, I kept it real simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We will look at one verse, I believe, a week or 2 weeks ago. We worked our way through the end of the chapter, but in my study, there were numerous passages in this chapter that minister to my heart, have helped me. Years ago, in the 90s, I had memorized this verse 15. And so it stands out anytime I read it. The Bible says, not boasting of things without our measure. That is, of other men's labors. He's basically saying, I won't plagiarize anybody else's work for the Lord. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. The title of the sermon is, When Your Faith is Increased. When your faith is increased. Father, may you bless the message and minister to our hearts. We are grateful for the Word of God. We're grateful for this assembly of believers. We're grateful, Lord God, that your Word still attracts people. And I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege tonight to be here and share your Word. May the Spirit of God empower it. And may you bless the special music. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of my life, but I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. See the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He knew who I was when he carried my cross. He knew I would fail him, but he took the loss. He knows my name, step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. Sees every sparrow that falls.
He knows my name.
There's a great message in that song. How many of you were helped with that song? That's a sermon in the song. All right, well, I was almost persuaded to make handouts because of the content that we're going to discuss. I don't want you to miss it, and there's a lot here. So looking back at the passage, 2 Corinthians 10:15, let's allow our minds to be engaged, our hearts to be engaged in the Word and the Scriptures. Once again, Paul says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Explanation: Paul trusted that when their faith was increased, it would allow him to see God work in a greater capacity through them. It would make Paul's work among them enlarged. That's the interpretation thereof. Any questions? Okay, we can move on. So apparently, our faith can be increased. That's good. It can increase. Whether you've got little bitty faith, mediocre faith, adolescent faith, adult faith, it can increase. With that in mind, the reality is this: you and I, as a child of God, are responsible for the increase of our faith. Something I probably could have prefaced with, Romans 12:3 tells us that God has given every man a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Even the lost? Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Well, yeah, they can do with their faith what they want. If they don't apply this faith in Jesus Christ in the light that God has revealed, that's on them. That's not on God. But God has given all men the ability to have faith in Him. We are responsible for the increase of our faith. Our faith is called a shield in Ephesians 6:16. Would you rather go to battle with a little bitty shield or a big shield? We need a big shield because the devil has more than one fiery dart. Sometimes he shoots them all at the same time. And the bigger the shield, the better. But once again, how do I get a big shield? I'm going to get to that. But the reality is, my faith can increase. The Bible also says in the same letter, same epistle, 2 Corinthians 1:24, it is by faith we stand. Any testimony you've made for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether at work, at school, at home, at leisure, when you had to stand for what is right against what is wrong, it was the result of faith. By faith you stand. It is how we walk as believers. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by emotion, not by feelings. Feelings. I won't do it, honey. But that's a difficulty that believers have, is it not? I will guess that there are probably scores of Christians not in church today, not because they had to work, not because they're ill, but because of their feelings. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You need to take a peek at that one. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. If you flip over there real quick, it'll be to the right. Just a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm there. I'll read it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. I don't know where I read this. I don't know. I can't remember the details of it, but a story of a fellow that was sleeping on a raft that was tied up to a dock on one of the coastal areas of the country. The rope had come loose and the drift had taken him out miles into the ocean while he was sleeping. They found him a day later. He was fine, but what a scary trip. He'd come loose. God's word tells us in the latter days, many will depart from the faith. They'll come loose. Only to their demise. We go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 so that we can just stare at the passage that I want to emphasize. Paul says, when your faith is increased, allow me to include these statements because I believe this is applicable to you and to me. When your faith is increased, you will have more confidence in God's word. You know, I've had different people write me checks for projects, maybe a little. I used to do drywall and all of that. And there are some people that I didn't quite have as much faith in their check as I did others. Anybody else ever been there? It's like, you know, I think I'll take cash. The problem is when the child of God struggles with God's promises that way. But see, when your faith is increased, you won't have a problem believing the Word of God. I love Charles Spurgeon's quote. I put this in a lot of the letters I send out to you members. The future is as bright as the promises of God. That's a great statement to somebody who believes in the promises of God, to somebody who has confidence in the promises of God. When your faith is increased, you won't need to compare yourself to others for self-worth. What are you talking about, Willis? Well, look at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Paul's faith is strong and he's wanting theirs to grow and it'll clean up a lot of problems that they have, because our biggest problem is always our lack of faith. It does start there. Just like our biggest sin is our lack of faith. As strange as this sounds, it was the lack of faith that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land for 40 years. I guess that's not strange. When your faith is increased, you will be more concerned about pleasing God rather than men. When your faith is increased, giants will shrink. When your faith is increased, oh, this is powerful. You need to turn in your Bible to this one. Turn to Luke chapter 17. I'll let you know when I'm going to give a powerful statement. Other than that, I'm going to give a bunch of statements. But Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke 17, verse 5. I didn't mark it, so I will get there about the same time. I need to read actually verse 4. Verse 4 says, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. You know why? Because it takes faith to forgive wounds. Deep wounds. But when your faith is increased, listen, when your faith is increased, you will be able to forgive more easily. When your faith is increased. Somebody who has a forgiving problem has a faith problem. Hello? Because apparently they don't believe the judge of all the earth shall do right. Apparently they don't believe God's aware of their condition. And apparently they think God's not taking care of business quick enough. No, vengeance is His. He will repay, but He'll do it on His time. And it may not be even in your lifetime. Your duty, my duty, is to forgive. Forgive the right way. But it takes faith. So when your faith is increased, you will be able to forgive more easily. So that's a red light. If I can't forgive, then I've got a faith problem. Number six, when your faith, I've numbered these. I don't know if you're writing them down. When your faith is increased, you will be more concerned about God's leadership. This is an interesting statement. Than His ability. I didn't bring a hanky. Too bad. I'll just use my sleeve. Think about this. When your faith is increased, you'll be more concerned about God's leadership than His ability. When Peter was on the boat, Jesus was walking on the water, Peter didn't just jump out of the boat and say, I believe in your ability. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you. He waited for an answer. And when the answer came, when the Lord says, come, that's when he stepped out. What did he do? He followed God's leadership. The question was not his ability. The question was his leadership. There's a lot of people that believe God can do anything, but they won't follow Him. Faith, when it is increased, is more concerned about which direction, Lord. You know, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, if you have ever done any studying on this, God took them the long way around to the border of Canaan land. Not the short way. He took them the long way around. Most of us like the short way. But Moses wasn't doing it his way. He was looking at the cloud by day and the fire by night, and whichever way it went, that's the direction he went. Faith will follow the leadership of God's Word and God's Spirit. I remember reading about Abraham Lincoln having a meeting right at the outset of the Civil War, and one of his cabinet members said, Mr. President, if God's for us, who can be against us? And Abe Lincoln said, I'm more concerned are we for God than if He's for us. Are we for God? That's a good question for all of us in its entirety. When your faith is increased, you will find yourself a dependent in God, not men. What's that mean? We tend to worry a lot about the people around us. In their response and their behavior. We tend to put expectations in the people around us. Hello, we do. And I understand we ought to have some expectations in our spouse and in different political leaders and positions. And if you've made a commitment to a responsibility, there are expectations. But when all is said and done, our expectation needs to be in God. Because people will fail us. And when they fail us, if my expectation is solely in them, that'll get me bent out of shape. But if I have faith that God can overrule man's unfaithfulness,
It's going to be all right.
Now, allow me to share a few other things. Why, I don't want to get to that one yet. Your faith is not increased when you expect God to do for you what you can do for yourself. Hello. The man says, I need work. I need work. And I believe God's going to provide it while he lays on the couch, watches TV all day, and eats donuts and Twinkies and Captain Crunch cereal and occasional Polish sausage with sauerkraut. And no, that's not my diet at all. Well, that's ridiculous. That's presumption. That's presumption. If God's given you the ability to do it with your hand, to take care of yourself, to work with you, he expects you to use the strength he's given you, to use the wisdom he's given you, to use the talents he's given you. God expects you to do that. And you don't need great faith to use what God has already provided for you. God says, I've given that to you, now use it. Don't lay your responsibilities that I've given you that you can take care of in my lap. That's why it's interesting. Psalms 41 verse 3 tells us about the person who gives to the poor. It's a blessing. He says, when you're sick, he says, I'll make all your bed in your sickness. God says that. That's fascinated me. God says to the person who had been serving the Lord, who'd been helping those who can't pay him back, God says, I'll make all your bed in your sickness. There's a lot of truth in that little verse. Number one, God expects us to make our bed, if you can. He does. But obviously, beyond that, in a greater capacity, there are things that God knows we can do while we're healthy, but God wants us to know. What you can't do, no sweat, I've got this. I'll take care of this. You're too sick to make your bed. Don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. But see, our faith is not increased. Just because I believe God can do anything if I'm not doing what I can is presumption. My faith is not increased when worry dominates my mind. Hello? Worry, worry, worry. We're going to be able to pay the bills. What's the doctor going to say? Are we going to be able to pay off a new building? You can worry about a lot of things. Now I want to go on to this aspect of the message. I'm moving at a good rate. How to increase your faith. If you haven't written anything down, this would be a good place to get on board. And if you don't want to write anything down, you don't have to. But how to increase your faith, because I think that's worthwhile learning, because it is advantageous. We will be responsible for the increase of our faith, or the decrease. We'll be responsible, and then we ought to know how to do it. Some of it's very obvious. Obviously, number one, hearing the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is so accessible to us today. We can listen to it audibly on the way to work, on the way home from work. You got to stay awake, though. You got to be alert, but you can listen to it while you're going to sleep. Let alone taking time to read it, hearing it. But hearing the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, listening to Christians who have experienced God work in their lives because of their faith. You get around somebody that's experienced the work of God in their life because they exercise some faith, that'll do something for your spirit. That'll do something for your soul. When Dennis Hood came to the church or came to visit me about 2-3 months ago, I'm telling you, it did something for my spirit. To hear what God had done in his life, it did. It moved me. It challenged me. And we need to be able to share testimonies. We ought to share testimonies. And we should try to always remember what God has done in the past. If you're in the waiting time right now, if you're in the waiting room right now, and you're waiting for the doctor to show up again like he did years ago, well, don't leave the room. Don't get discouraged. Hold fast. Remember, he did it before. He'll do it again. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. How to increase our faith? We need to hear the Word of God. We need to listen to other Christians who have experienced God work in their lives. That's why we need to share our testimonies. Number three, we need to exercise ourselves in prayer. Exercise ourselves in prayer. That's what I want to say. Exercise ourselves in prayer. I love what the Bible says about Daniel. When they had passed the law that he couldn't pray to any other god, and the law said if anybody made any petition to any other god but the king, they'd be thrown in the lion's den. Well, what gave Daniel the audacity and the boldness to go ahead and pray, open his window and pray three times a day? Because he'd done it every day. But not just that, it wasn't just a practice, but he and God were on good terms. He'd experienced God working his life in the past. He'd witnessed God work in his life in the past. He had faith. Prayer, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not talking about, oh my head, oh my heart, where's my cigarette type prayer. I'm not talking about some ritualistic type prayer. I'm talking about you talking to God from your heart. Will exercise your faith. By the way, just like your muscles, if you don't exercise them, atrophy sets in. Atrophy. You exercise your faith, and you'll see God work. Pay attention. Look. Watch. He's at work. Number four, how to increase your faith. I know this sounds so simplistic. Exercise obedience to the Word of God. Oh, come on, that's so simplistic. Yeah, why don't more people practice? Smoking, drinking, fist fights, and dirty talk, they all make me walk the dirty walk. That's right. We don't have a problem with that in this room, do we? You guys keep your cigarettes in the car? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every... You know that song? I got a few head nods. I got a few bobbleheads. All right. So, obedience. Now, think about this. Long before David ever stood up to Goliath, David didn't all of a sudden have a burst of faith shine on him when he found out about Goliath mocking the people of God. You realize he'd been exercising his faith for a long time? You know what's fascinating to me? I made a little note in 1 Samuel chapter 13. That's the first time God mentions, I found me a man. He said, I found me a man after my own heart. David doesn't come along for three more chapters, and when he does come along, he's a young man, a little shepherd boy. He's not even brought into the council meeting when Samuel's looking for the potential king. Jesse thinks he's too young for that, and he's out there taking care of the sheep. But way back there three chapters ago, God had already found him a man. You see, because without faith, you can't please God. And that little fellow was exercising his faith back on that hillside. I wonder what he was doing. He was taking the Word of God, I'll tell you that. Whatever scriptures that he knew from the laws of Moses, he thought about those. He meditated about those. He probably thought about the battles that Joshua had experienced and Caleb, the giants that Caleb had knocked down. He probably thought about those things. But not only that, he had to take care of those sheep. And on two different occasions, there were critters that came after the sheep. Beasts, lion and a bear. I was going to say lions and tigers and bears, But there was no tiger in there. Just a bear and a lion. And David said, I delivered those sheep. And he witnessed, he acknowledged God helped him. Now, those may not have been real big responsibilities, but they were, because every responsibility God has given you is important. It's a time, an opportunity for you to exercise your faith. And if you're faithful in the little things, God can trust you with the big things. David experienced God, his faith grew, and when the giant came, he thought, well, that giant, these are his words. He's no different than that lion or that bear that God took care of. But see, every act of obedience is you conquering a giant of disobedience. Every act of obedience is you conquering the giant of sloth, conquering the giant of negligence, conquering the giant of self-will. Hey, sometimes we obey, we don't want to obey, but you do it and you conquer, and you're exercising faith is what you're doing. And you're increasing your faith. Here's another one. How to increase your faith. I know it's going to sound similar, but it is a little distinctive, by exercising self-restraint when tempted. Oh boy. Every time sin comes before your eyes, you have an opportunity to exercise faith or give in. Every time a sinful temptation comes into your ears, you have an opportunity to exercise faith and stiff-arm it or give in. Every time wicked thoughts go into your mind, you have an opportunity to stiff-arm it and resist it and call it out as sin and get your mind thinking right, or yield to it and give in and flounder and indulge the flesh. Because every time you indulge the flesh, you weaken your faith. Hello. Self-restraint is a means of exercising your faith. Self-restraint. You know, those three Hebrews didn't have a problem saying no to the king, because they'd made a decision way back in chapter 1, verse 8, with Daniel. Daniel gets all the credit. He seems to be the ringleader. But with Daniel, the Bible says in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat, and so did those fellas. Not to defile himself, and so did those fellas. How to increase your faith? By remaining faithful in times of great trials. Well, I thought trials were just to manifest whether you had faith or not. Oh, they're also opportunity, though, for you to exercise faith. You be steadfast. What does the Bible say? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does the Bible say? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why does the Bible say, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not? Why does the Bible say that? Because you do get tired, and you do get exhausted, and you do want to give up, and there's a voice in there that, and it's from the devil, I guarantee you, saying, oh, just give up. God's not going to come through. Just give up. Oh, but the exercise of faith says, just one more step. Just one more service. Just one more prayer. I'm just going to keep trusting the Lord. And when I can't move anymore, I'm just going to rest in Him like I would my head on a pillow. I'm not giving up. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, said Job, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he was a great man of faith. Trials are going to come to you whether you deserve them or not. Hello. Trials and tribulations, they come to every single one of us. In this world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation. But you've overcome the world. What do you say overcomes the world, by the way? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, 1 John 5:4. How do we increase our faith? I'm giving you too much information. Oh, well, it's all Bible. We're just going to shove it all out there right now. Here's another one. Exercising prayer and fasting. That is a Bible practice. Prayer and fasting. Even if it's at meal, one meal. Number 8, I'll move on. How do I increase my faith? Listen to this one. Please don't miss this one. How do you exercise your faith? I'm talking at this like it's on. I'm using this one. By getting up every time you failed. every time you have failed, if you get back up, you'll be stronger for it. You say, I messed up with my mind. Confess it. Clean up. Own it. And do right. Don't give up. I messed up with alcohol. I messed up with cigarettes. I messed up with my mouth. I said some things and maybe I can't get those back. Own it. And do right. I lied to some people. I stole something. I can't believe I did it. Own it. Own it. Confess it and get back up. That's how you exercise faith. That's how it gets stronger. But here's the grand finale. If you didn't get anything else I just said, anything else, this is worth the whole service here. You want to increase your faith? I could sum it up with this one phrase right here, but I wanted to give you all the details there earlier. And I'll illustrate this way. I trust her. I trust her with my life. I trust her with all the details of my life. I trust her enough to be able to unload things that I can't unload to other people. I hope she trusts me. I know she trusts me that way. I trust her. You know why I trust her? By the way, I trust her more now than I did when we first got married. I'm more comfortable with her now than when we first got married. You know why? Because I've got to know her better. My faith in her has increased because I've got to know her better. You know where I'm going? Get to know Jesus better. You see, those 3.5 years the disciples walked with Jesus, every little trouble that the disciples experienced that Jesus sent them into was an opportunity for them to get to know Him. What manner of man is this, they'd say. Yeah. Get to know Jesus better and your faith will increase. The ice fishing illustration always comes to my mind as well. First time I ever went ice fishing, I was extremely nervous. But after a while, if you've been on solid ice and you know the thickness of the ice, you get a little more confident with it. Now, if you hear certain creaky, cracky sounds, you better watch out for that. But the more you get to know Jesus personally, the more your faith will increase. Oh, I'm almost done. Almost. I have one more aspect of this to present. Why do people lose faith? Why do they lose faith? Let me give you 3 reasons here. That's just a whole bunch of information. Number one, they lose faith because they don't handle disappointment correctly. They don't handle it correctly. I can't explain it. I mean, because there are many people respond differently, but some a child of God, I mean, a born-again believer gets disappointed because something didn't turn out the way they wanted. And some people, they say that's it. It's kind of like they think God is their genie rather than their God. You see, to get disappointed at God is you turning the tables and making Him the servant. Have you thought about that? But if you're the servant, you'll never have a reason to get disappointed. It's our responsibility to serve Him. Does He bless us? Yes. Does He take care of His servants? Yes. Better than we deserve. But people do lose faith when they get disappointed. I've seen them. I've seen them give up on church. I've seen them give up in their marriage because of disappointment. Next, why do people lose faith? Oh, listen to this. Their knowledge of the object of their fear grows instead of God. Now that's a long statement, so let me try to illustrate. So, hey, Jason, can I borrow you? Can I borrow you just for a minute? So I want you to just kind of crouch down initially. Crouch down initially. All right. And this is going to be the Cape of Fear. Cape Fear. There's the place. And what happens is, and we can use the 12 spies that went to Canaan land. What was the thing that made them turn their back on Canaan land? Giants? All in favor, say amen. Okay. And so, Bo, you're on the end there. Okay, so, just a minute, stand over here. I want you to stand tall and hold this up. Okay, so those 12 spies, they'd have been a little bitty compared to the giants. And they went into Canaan land, and they saw the good fruit and the land. They looked around, they saw the giant. But what happened was they quit looking at God, and so the giant got bigger. Go ahead, stand. The giant got bigger. The giant got bigger. People lose faith in God because they're so focused on the object of their fear, they quit discovering God. They're investing themselves in their fear. They're investing themselves in the thing they cannot control, in the potential worries of tomorrow, of the potential disasters, rather than investing themselves in the one who can squash the giants. But that's why people depart from the faith from fear. A lot of people do. Thank you, guys. You can read through your Bible and see people run because of fear. But there's one more, and then we're done. This is it. This is the end of the message. I've given you so much, but hopefully something will stick. And hopefully when your faith is increased, you'll testify of the things God can do. But you need to turn to Revelation chapter 3 for this one. This is it. How do people lose faith, or why do people lose faith? Why do they lose faith? Well, they lose faith because of fear. They lose faith because they don't handle disappointment correctly. Then finally, we get to Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am what? And increase with what? And have need of what? And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now pause. This is a church. It says the church of the Laodiceans. Is that what your Bible says? It looks to me like they've departed from the faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus isn't even in the door. He's outside the door knocking. He wants to come in. I'm under the belief that he was in there at one time. But they lost faith. You know why? Worldly pleasure and security. All of a sudden, they got everything they needed worldly, and they didn't need God. All of a sudden, they had all the security and finances and properties, and they had all the pleasures that they needed, and, well, we don't need God. Because who's going to pray if you have need of nothing? Who's going to seek something if they don't need anything? That's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. That's a dangerous place to be in. And sometimes God has to shake our world and remove those things from our lives. And we'll thank Him later, realizing it's God that gave them to us anyways. It takes discipline. I said it takes discipline in faith to continue to practice prayer and faith when you have things going for you. But the danger is we start getting the material and the worldly blessings of God, and we start losing our spiritual power, and we start forgetting about His presence and His person. Yeah. So that's the third reason. Well, you made it. We're at the finish line. There's only one thing to do now. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love You and we pray that You bless the service. Thank You for the Scriptures. I do ask that Your Spirit would help us all to make a personal, deliberate decision to increase our faith. Help us be mindful of those things that have caused others to turn from the faith. We know that in the latter days, You said some will depart. May that not be the case for the people in this room. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if the Lord has spoke to your heart about a personal decision and you just want to testify that with an upraised hand in prayer, I'd pray for you and I'd thank God that you were receptive. Is there anybody here that say, "Preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart about some things"? All right. God bless you. God bless you. I hope you'll be deliberate. God bless you. I hope you'll be deliberate. I hope you'll make it personal. And I hope that we can come back and say, "You know, I exercised some faith and I saw God move. I saw Him work in my heart first and then in other areas. To God be the glory." Bless the message, bless the service, keep everybody safe as they head home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.